and I mute my mic.
Okay, good. And I've just started the recording over because almost the first 15 minutes of the recording would have been technical difficulties. So I will just talk into the phone, but I can see you guys. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, I am starting with quote 720 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. And let me just read that quote again. Worries or movements of thought alone are known as mind. Thought, notion, concept is another name for the same thing. So what I was trying to say earlier is that a few months ago when I was doing my own contemplation, probably of another Seven Steps quote, I came to see all movements of thought as desire. Here in this quote, it's calling them worries. And we'll look a little deeper at this in just a moment. But when I was doing my own contemplation without looking at this quote, what I saw was that all movements of thought are desire, which is interesting because that's also, I think, the way Buddha described it. And again, we often think of desires in a very narrow way. We think of desires as things like, I want ice cream, I want $1 million, I want sex, I want, what else do I want? I want a new car, I want a better house, I want that pretty thing over there. You know, we think of these types of things as desires. But while I was in contemplation and watching the movements of mind, I saw that every thought is really a type of desire. It's really trying to, it wants the world, here's the way I'll say it, thought wants the world to suit me. And that is a desire, right? Wanting the world to suit me. Thought wants me to be safe, me to be liked, me to be admired. Thought wants you to be nice to me. It's all about me and wanting the world to suit me. And so I saw all thought as a desire. I also called them concerns. Because as I looked deeper at those desires, I saw that they were all concerns. Again, all of the thoughts wanted the world to suit me. And so underneath all of those desires was this concern energy that the world would not suit me, that you would not like me, you would not think I am smart, I would not be safe, whatever. So I came to call those movements of mind desires or concerns. Now notice, as you watch what I went through in my own process of watching the movements of mind and then kind of labeling them, notice that's very, very similar to what is being said in this quote, because this quote is calling them worries. And aren't concerns and worries really about the same thing? It says worries or movements of thought alone are known as mind. Thought, notion, concept is another name for the same thing. Now we have an intelligence of mind that does not fall into this category. You know, for example, I mentioned this morning that one of the things I am now working on is I am building a new Awakening Together website. And we selected a new WordPress theme, which is the tool that I am using to build the website. And this theme has a lot of things that you can do that previous themes I've worked with didn't have. And so the very first thing I needed to do was to learn how to use this WordPress theme so that I could build the new website. The mind as a tool for doing those type of tasks, that is not at all the same as the chatter of mind, which is being called worries here, and which I saw as desires, concerns. So when we talk about letting the mind die, for example, letting the mind die, That doesn't seem to mean that the tool that enables me to read, to speak, to do math, to do websites, that that function of the mind needs to go away. It's this chatter, these desires, these concerns, these worries. This is what Jesus in A Course in Miracles calls insanity. This is what needs to die. And in fact, it serves no benefit at all. If you pay very, very close attention to the chattering of mind, there is absolutely nothing beneficial in it. Unless, I suppose there's one possibility, unless you are completely attached to this body personality as me, and you do believe that you need the world to suit me, and you do believe that the mind is that which can figure out how in the world you're going to make the whole world suit you. I suppose if you're completely caught up in that, which is what we call the ego sense, if you're completely caught up in that, well, then you're going to believe that mind has some benefit because mind is promising to help you accomplish this goal of having the whole world suit you. It's a lie. But that's what mind is promising, and so you're going to keep right on listening to it if you're completely identified with the ego sense. However, if you are beginning to let go of the ego sense and you're beginning to realize that you are something that's completely beyond the mind, and then you look at the chatter, you will see the uselessness of it. You will see that nothing beneficial comes from mind, not the way we're defining it now, as the worries or the desires or the concerns. Nothing beneficial comes from mind, and you don't need it at all. Now, another thing that happens also is even with that, some people still become frightened and say, well, that, you know, they think they do need mind. Mind does sometimes keep me safe, for example, might be the argument. But actually, if you really get very careful in your looking, what you will find is that there is something that can keep even the body safe. But that's more on the intuitive level. It's much more intuition that guides you in a wise way, rather than that crazy chatter of mind. So even the body can be taken care of, and it can be given promptings that keep it safe, pointed in which direction to go and which directions not to go, right? Without the chattering of mind. So we don't have any need whatsoever for mind as we're defining it now. Nothing good comes from mind. And in fact, everything bad comes from mind. Every aspect of sorrow and suffering in the world comes from the chattering of mind. You know, today in America, it was actually last night, but it's in today's news. We had a man, I believe. I haven't seen the news directly myself. I've more heard the stories through three different people who have told me. So if I'm a little wrong in my facts, please forgive me. But a man, I believe, walked into a gay bar, I think it was, last night, and killed about 50 people and injured several others, is the story that I heard. Well, if we get very specific in looking at what caused that, what caused a man to arm himself and to walk into a bar and shoot a bunch of people. In fact, his father said that he thinks what may have initiated it is that this man saw two men kissing publicly and it disgusted him, and that may have been the catalyst for the entire event. What is the cause of all of this? Isn't it the movements of mind? Isn't it this person, this man who is now dead, but this person thinking, this is who I am this personality, and I want the world to suit me. And a part of my world, you know, as this man, I don't want anybody to pop in and think I'm talking about Regina, because it's not true for Regina. But a part of my world is there should be no gay people. There should be no women in love with women, and there should be no men in love with men, right? This is a part of my thought system as this man. And these movements of mind, whether you call them desires, concerns, or worries, are beginning to talk now. And they are beginning to tell me how I can help create a world that will suit me. And because I completely believe that I am this person, and I completely believe that the mind knows how to save me, that the mind is my savior, I begin to listen, and the mind begins to create a plan, and, you know, whatever else went into this, whether guns had to be bought, you know, whatever else went into this situation. And pretty soon I'm walking into a bar and I'm shooting 50 people. You see? What caused that? The movements of mind. That's what caused it. So when we watch mind very, very carefully, what we discover is nothing good comes from those desires, concerns, or worries, that movement, that chatter. Nothing good comes of it, and everything bad comes from it. Therefore, why would we avoid the death, the end of that mind? So I'm going to look now, I'm going to see what came to me when I contemplated this quote 3 years ago. Let me read the quote for you one more time. Worries or movements of thought alone are known as mind. Thought, notion, concept is another name for the same thing. All right, let's go and see what I wrote on April 1st, 2013. This is from my journal. Thought, or movement of thought, is mind. Notice whenever attention is given to thought or movement of thought. Use self-inquiry to refocus on silent awareness. Realize silent awareness as consistent self. Yeah, the last thing that was written on the board when I was talking about, when I was pretending to be the man who went in and shot those 50 people last night, why would I listen to mind? And even beyond pretending to be that man, just any of us, why would we want to listen to that crazy chattering mind when nothing good comes of it and everything bad comes from it? And I think probably when I asked that question, Jacqueline wrote in the room, because it's who we think we are. And that's absolutely true. I mean, that's exactly why this man walked into that bar last night and shot 50 people, is because he thought, this is who I am. This is how I need the world to be. Right? He was believing all of that. So take that realization that the reason we listen to that chatter is because it's who we think we are. Take that realization for a moment and then listen to this journal entry again. The journal entry says, thought or movement of thought is mind. Notice whenever attention is given to thought or movement of thought. Use self-inquiry to refocus on silent awareness. Realize silent awareness as consistent self. So let's just go into a complete fantasy right now. Let's go back to being this man who walked into the bar last night and shot 50 people. But let's create a new story, a new version. Let's start with whatever day he happened to see two men kissing in public and this thought of being disgusted crossed the mind. Let's even let it be believed a little bit. All right, so the thought of being disgusted by seeing two men kissing crosses the mind and it's believed and there's this emotional reaction. And let's imagine we're out on a street somewhere, so we're able to walk a little bit away from what we've just seen. And as we walk, the mind begins spinning. And it's spinning about, you know, gay people and what a disgrace they are and, you know, whatever it's saying, right? But then, in our story, something different happens. This person has already begun the spiritual path and immediately notices, look at these thoughts in the mind. Look at what I am listening to. And so begins to ask, what is it that sees these thoughts? And the attention shifts from outward to inward. And there's a noticing that what sees these thoughts is awareness. And then there's a deep, deep looking at awareness. Attention is completely turned around now and it's looking at awareness. And there's an inquiry that continues in the mind that helps even the mind to see that I am not the chatter about gay people. I'm this consistent awareness, this consistent, silent, still awareness. And if needed, maybe this inquiry even goes so far as to help me see that everyone, every person is the same consistent awareness, regardless of what role they play. And through this inquiry and through this looking at myself and realizing the truth about what I am, I'm able to let all those thoughts just go. And there's no shooting. Right? You see, it's what Jacqueline wrote. The reason we listen to the chattering mind is because it's who we think we are. Therefore, the journal entry that's asking us to practice self-inquiry on these thoughts so that we realize it is not who we are. That's the answer. That's how we let the chattering mind go. And when we let it go, then whatever it was going to make, the Course would call it miscreation. Whatever miscreation was going to come of it, does not. Because we let it go. Right? So again, the journal entry says, thought or movement of thought is mind. And then it gives us three steps that we can all follow. And we don't have to wait for our mind to be planning on shooting people to follow it. We don't have to go that far. We can stop much, much sooner. Just whenever we notice our mind is chattering, right? And we notice, and if you want to, go ahead and if you haven't yet, take the time to notice that it really is, whether you call it desire, concern, or worry, it's most definitely self-centered. And notice that the mind is chattering about making the world suit you. Notice how incredibly self-centered it is, right? But whenever you notice the chattering of mind, you can practice these three steps. First, of course, is the noticing of the chatter, the movement of thought. And then second, Use self-inquiry to refocus attention on silent awareness. And then third, realize that the silent awareness is the consistent self. The thoughts come and go, but the silent awareness is always present because it is what you are. All right, let's move on to quote 721. In the Seven Steps to Awakening says, "The utter destruction or extinction of the mind is the extinction of the creation cycle." And actually, I use the word miscreation, like the Course does, but we just saw how that happened, even though it was an imaginary scenario, right? We were being the man who thought that, we hate gays. What do they call it? Homophobic. We were being the homophobic man who has started a spiritual path, in our case. But the homophobic man was still there. So we were being the homophobic man. We saw two men kiss. We felt disgusted. We kept walking. Our mind starts chattering about this. And then we noticed it. Right? We noticed it. And so we practiced self-inquiry. We saw that we are not the homophobic man. We saw that we are the consistent still awareness. And we were able to let go of the entire thing, and 50 people were not killed. Do you see how the cycle of creation, I use the word miscreation, but do you see how the cycle of creation stopped in that case, because we did not continue with the chatter of mind? Now let's go back to this quote. The utter destruction or extinction of the mind is the extinction of the creation cycle. It is also known as the abandonment of the mind. Therefore, uproot this tree whose seed is the I idea, with all its branches, fruits, and leaves, and rest in the space of the heart. So we spoke a moment ago about how nothing worthwhile comes from the chattering mind, and everything bad comes from the chattering mind. And we ask the question, why would we not be excited about the possibility of the final death of that mind? And this is the direction this particular quote is pointing in. This quote is pointing in the direction of being excited about the possibility of the final death of this mind. The utter destruction or extinction of the mind is the extinction of the creation cycle. It is also known as the abandonment of the mind. NTI calls it being disengaged from the mind. Therefore, uproot this tree whose seed is the I idea, with all its branches, fruits, and leaves, and rest in the space of the heart. Rest in the space in the heart. This won't be on the recording because we had technical difficulties, so I had to stop the recording. But those of you who were in the sanctuary when I started this hour, you heard me play the song, "The End of Me." And in that song is this wonderful line, "The end of me is not the enemy. The end of me is not the enemy." But, of course, the I thought or the identification with me definitely thinks the end of me is the enemy. And this is one reason why we need to see that we are not the person, the personality, the mind. Because if we do fully think that this is who I am, I'm not going to want the end of me. But if I start this spiritual practice that's recommended all the time here in the sanctuary, and I begin to let go of certain patterns of thinking, I'll see I'm still here. That pattern of thinking is gone, and the suffering it caused is gone. But look, I am still here. That's kind of like cutting branches off the tree. I cut a lot of branches off the tree. If you know me, you know that. I think the first branch I ever cut off the tree was the belief in betrayal. And another branch that I cut off the tree was the belief in rejection. Another branch that I cut off the tree was the belief that people use each other for selfish purposes. Another branch that I cut off the tree was the belief, I call it the I am bad belief. And when I cut all of these branches off of the tree, I did not awaken, not in the way I define awakening, which would be the final end of mind. I did not awaken. The mind is still here. But so much of the chatter was gone, stories that no longer needed to be told, ways that I no longer needed to be protected, you know, things that no longer needed to change in order to make the world suit me. So many things were gone with those branches. I could begin to see that I, what I really am, and in fact we'll call that the blue sky above the tree, what I really am is, even if the tree is completely taken away, right? You can completely uproot that tree and the sky is not affected. So you see, if I think I'm the tree, I'm going to be very afraid of cutting off branches, even in some cases tearing off leaves. And certainly I'm going to be afraid of uprooting the tree completely. But sometimes when we start the letting go process by chopping off a branch here and chopping off a branch there, we start to learn, wait a minute. We start to somehow see at a level that's beyond the mind, all of these things are going and I am still here. There's just less sorrow and suffering. So maybe, I really can go for the big one. Maybe I can uproot this idea of me, this idea of I, this idea that I'm Regina, even this idea that I'm human. Maybe I can uproot all of that. And what I really am, I, will still be here. But there will be none of the sorrow and suffering. Because everything that caused the sorrow and the suffering was in the tree. It never was in the sky. And what I am is the sky mistaking myself for a tree. Right? So as we begin to practice what the Course calls forgiveness, and we begin to let go of some false beliefs, all that we're learning really is that we can let go of mind, and the only thing that is sacrificed is sorrow and suffering. That's what we learn from the practice of forgiveness. So again, this quote says, "The utter destruction or extinction of the mind is the extinction of the creation cycle," and the Course would call that the miscreation cycle. "It is also known as the abandonment of mind. Therefore, uproot this tree whose seed is the I idea with all its branches, fruits, and leaves, and rest in the space in the heart." So let's go have a peek at my journal from 2013. 721A. "Without a belief in I, there is no glue to hold attention to thought. The thought that I am involved or I am affected is the glue that keeps attention focused on thought. So we mentioned that all thoughts are desires, concerns, or worries, depending on the word you like best. They're all about me and how I can make the world suit me. Self-centered is a great word. They're all self-centered, right? All thoughts are self-centered. So what is the glue that keeps attention on a thought about me? Isn't it the belief in me? Right? The belief in me is the glue that keeps my attention on thoughts about me. If I did not have a belief in Regina as who I am, I would not be interested in all of these thoughts about Regina and her life. So the glue is the belief in me, or the I thought. And so that's what this journal entry is saying. Again, it's pointing to the clarity that we can uproot this I, right? That this I itself is the problem. This belief that I am this person is the problem. Or another way to say that, the ego sense, the belief that I am a me is the problem. That's also often called the belief in separation. Without a belief in I, there is no glue to hold attention to thought. So thought would be completely impotent. Chatter would be completely impotent. Chatter could not cause a problem without the belief in I, if there is chatter without the belief in I, and I don't know that there is, but if there is, it could not cause a problem because I would have no interest in it if I didn't have the belief in I. Right? So without a belief in I, there is no glue to hold attention to thought. The thought that I am involved or I am affected is the glue that keeps attention focused on thought. So I'm going to move on to 721B. What fears the disappearance of the world as reality? Isn't it the I that believes it is affected by no world? All right, so I've talked about the fact that if I didn't listen, if I wasn't a homophobic man listening to my thoughts, I couldn't walk into a bar and kill 50 people. Like, I have to believe I'm a homophobic man first, right? And if I don't have that belief, then those thoughts are not going to hold my attention at all, and I'm never going to follow through. And we talked about how that miscreation cannot occur without interest in thoughts. But actually, the quote doesn't use the word miscreation. The quote uses the word creation. And when it uses the word creation, it's really referring to what we would call the world, including what we would call the universe. And what this quote is saying is that the utter destruction or extinction of the mind is also the extinction of the creation cycle, which we would call the extinction of the universe. And when you think you are a person, the idea of the extinction of the universe is most likely not at all attractive. You know, when I was with Michael Langford, I asked him, how do you know when you've attained manonessa, right? The final end of the ego, the final mind death. And his answer was, the way you know that you've attained manonessa is there's no more world, there's no more universe. You no longer experience a world, you no longer experience a universe. He said, if you can see a tree, if you can see anything, then you have not attained the final end of the ego. It's like, wow, you know, wow. I mean, doesn't that just blow the mind away? Wow. If I let go of the ego, if I let go of the I, the world itself, the universe itself, will no longer appear. But isn't that what A Course in Miracles tells us, Lesson 132? In fact, doesn't Lesson 132 in A Course in Miracles encourage us to go as far as possible on this path, the one we're talking about right now, as we can in this lifetime. Let's see, I'm turning to lesson 132 right now. I loose the world from all I thought it was. That is the lesson. Let's see, paragraph 5 says, there is no world apart from what you wish. So here we have another word, worries, desires, concerns, wishes, all talking about the same chatter of mind, right? There is no world apart from what you wish, and herein lies your ultimate release. Change but your mind on what you want to see, and all the world must change accordingly. Now, that's not exactly... That still makes it sound like there's just going to be a better world. But let's jump over to the next paragraph. Next paragraph says, as clear as can day, as can be, there is no world. This is the central thought the Course attempts to teach. Not everyone is ready to accept it. Well, that's because we think we're people, and people without a world, well, that kind of sucks. You know, you need something to stand on. You need the ground, right? But there is no world. This is the central thought the Course attempts to teach. Not everyone is ready to accept it. But then listen to this. And each one must go as far as he can let himself be led along the road to truth. He will return and go still farther, or perhaps step back a while and then return again. So this seems to be telling us that we are here literally to go as far as we can in letting go of this I thought. And when we let go of this I thought, this me, the entire world, the entire universe will disappear because it's not true anyway. And it says, you're not all ready to see this. And L.A. Ruzdar certainly told us that very clearly. You're not all ready. The Course says, you're not all ready. But go as far as you can in this direction. And then you'll return to continue your journey, right? But this is the spiritual path. This is what truth is all about. Truth is not about untruth, which means it's not about me and my world. Me and my world is what is being let go. And so 721B, because again, that can be a very scary thought to a person. So 721B is looking at the fear around this type of teaching with inquiry. What fears the disappearance of the world as reality? Isn't it the I that believes it is affected by no world? Right? If you feel this fear and you look very carefully, isn't it the I? You know, sometimes people will come in here and they'll say, that is not what the Course teaches, even though the Course very clearly says this is the central theme. But they'll say that is not what the Course teaches. If we have that thinking and we inquire into that thinking, what is now saying that is not what the Course teaches? It's going to be me, right? It's going to be the I. And there's nothing we need to do with that but look at that and recognize that and be honest about that. Being honest that it's the I, it's the belief that I'm a person that wants there to be a world. We don't have to go any further than that. That alone, just sitting with that realization, is going to help inch us forward in our preparation to accept the truth by letting go of the I. So we just have to look with that realization. My goodness, it is the I. It is the I. It is me that wants there to be a world. That I can see. That is true. And then just let that be. Let's see. We have 2 minutes left. Let's have a peek at 721C and see what it says. It's further commentary on this same quote. With attention on awareness, notice. Does awareness have any ideas of fear? Does it have any ideas of death? All right, so let's complete this inquiry. So here I am, a person who does not like the teaching that there is no world. Right? I don't like that teaching. And why should I if I'm a person? You know, I mean, there's no reason to like that teaching if you think you're a person. But I've just done an inquiry. I've just asked, what is it that wants to believe the world is real? I really looked and I saw it is the me, it's the I. That's what wants to believe it. So now let's take that inquiry one step further. What am I? And one way I often do that, one thing that will help me step on back further away from the person is, what is it that sees these thoughts? Or what is it that sees this I? What is it that sees these thoughts? And when I ask this question, what is it that sees these thoughts, or what is it that sees this I, my attention shifts to the watcher, the looker, the awareness. And again, by placing attention there on the watcher, the looker, the awareness, if you really place attention there, and again, maybe a little bit of inquiry continuing, you will notice that is what's consistent. You were the same attention, awareness, at age 3, 7, 13, 20, 29, 35, right? The same. The person changed a lot in those years, and the thinking changed a lot in those years, but the awareness stayed the same. And as you start to notice you're not a person, you're awareness, and you start to place your attention on the awareness as what you are doing what Lesson 132 asks you to do. You are carrying yourself along that road to truth by noticing you're not the person. Because as you notice you're not the person and notice that's the truth about you, you become more and more ready to let go of the person and therefore the entire world. And with that, my time is up. So thanks, guys, for joining with me in spite of the technical difficulties tonight. Bye-bye.